This is Nightly Business Report with Tyler Matheson and Sue Herrera.
A triple header, records abound on Wall Street. Will this big earnings week push the blue chip Dow Index past 23,000?
Pledging unity in a freewheeling press conference, the country's two most powerful Republicans say they have a great relationship and plan to work together on taxes and a health care fix.
Rising tensions, a conflict in Iraq spilled over into a key oil-producing region, and crude prices could head straight north. Those stories and more tonight on Nightly Business Report for Monday, October 16th.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Wall Street rising, the three major indexes all closed at records. That's not a bad way to start the week. The financials helped lead the way, and the market may have been even higher if not for healthcare stocks. We'll have more on that in just a moment. But first, here's a look at the record close. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 85 points to 22,956. The NASDAQ added 18. S&P 500 was up 4. With the Dow on the verge of 23,000, the next big test for stocks is earnings. Seema Modi is at the New York Stock Exchange.
The stock market remains strong, with the Dow Jones Industrial now eyeing 23,000. Investors attribute the stock market rally to earnings. And earnings season is about to kick into high gear, with 55 S&P 500 companies reporting this week. That's 11% of the index. Expectations are high. Wall Street is estimating an average 4% jump in profits from companies in the S&P 500. Financials will likely steal the spotlight, with both Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley reporting on Tuesday. With interest rates on the rise, banking analysts are anticipating a pickup in lending activity. Other important names on the earnings calendar include IBM, which also reports on Tuesday, American Express and EB on Wednesday, Verizon on Thursday, and General Electric on Friday. Investors will also pay close attention to commentary from chief executives on the impact of the hurricanes on growth. But strategists at Bank of America Merrill Lynch say solid results may not be enough to move the needle. Guidance, now the strongest in nearly 7 years, needs to remain healthy. And if it's not, the long bull run on Wall Street could come to an end. For Nightly Business Report, I'm Seema Modi at the New York Stock Exchange.
President Trump held a free-form news conference today, talking about a number of issues important to business and investors. He led the Senate Majority Leader McConnell to the White House Rose Garden, where the two said their relationship was better than ever, and they declared unity on tax reform.
I would like very much to see it be done this year, so we won't go a step further. If we get it done, that's a great achievement. But don't forget, it took years for the Reagan administration to get taxes done. I've been here for 9 months.
Health care, also a topic. The president said they are working on a measure to repeal and replace Obamacare and expect to maybe have it by early next year. And while standing at the podium, he talked about his decision to end insurance subsidy payments and went after the health insurers.
The insurance companies have made a fortune with Obamacare, an absolute fortune. As you know, what I did with the cuts at the end, which were all going, you know, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars a month going right into the pockets of the insurance companies. And I'm very happy with what I did. And because of that, people are talking now. Democrats are talking to the Republicans for a short term taking care of what we will call health care.
Early in the day at a cabinet meeting, the president also talked about a short-term fix and a long-term fix for health care, as you just heard. And he renewed his attack in the morning on the high price of prescription drugs.
The prescription drug prices are out of control. The drug prices have gone through the roof. And if you look at the same exact drug by the same exact company, made in the same exact box and sold someplace else, sometimes it's a fraction of what we pay in this country. Meaning, as usual, the world is taking advantage of the United States. They're setting prices in other countries, and we're not. The drug companies, frankly, are getting away with murder.
Well, those comments pressured some stocks in the healthcare sector, and that sent the healthcare ETF lower, as you see there. John Harwood is following the whole story from Washington. John, he really went across the whole smorgasbord of items. Let's start with tax reform. Can Mr. Trump and Mr. McConnell really work together and get a tax cut package out of Congress by year end?
They can. It's possible. And certainly they both have incentives to get that done. But Mitch McConnell was pretty careful to put some caution on that prediction about getting it done by the end of the year. He noted that President Obama had not succeeded on Obamacare or on Dodd-Frank until the second year in office. So I would expect that this is going to be on a slower track than the president hopes for. But there is certainly the possibility that Republicans can decide this is the do-or-die issue. They have to succeed and get it done.
What about health care reform and specifically the drug pricing that the president referenced several times today? I mean, this is definitely front and center on his radar.
Well, this is something that he's talked about since the campaign. He has occasionally used this as a way of trying to establish common bond with some Democrats, saying this is something they want to do, too. But we haven't gotten any indication that he's serious about pursuing this beyond rhetorically. Is he prepared, for example, to tell the Medicare system and force the Republican Congress to go along that they can negotiate drug prices with drug companies? They're prohibited from doing so now. I would be surprised if he does more than talk about this issue, but he's got the chance to do it if he wants to.
And he also came back to the repeal and replace of Obamacare. He talked about a short-term fix of some sort, but it was unclear what he was talking about there that might involve some bipartisanship. What was he driving at there?
That was a fascinating part of this news conference. What he's talking about are bipartisan talks between Lamar Alexander and Patty Murray, who are the chairman and ranking members of the Senate Health Committee, to restore those very payments that he cut off last week. He described them today as payoffs to insurance companies and said the Democrats were doing favors for campaign contributors, and he took pride in the fact that their stocks had gone down after he cut off those payments. But restoring those payments is at the heart of these bipartisan talks, and people on Capitol Hill today were sort of shaking their heads and saying, wow, this is the kind of thing he's been attacking, but the opportunity is there for him to take credit for it, because if, in fact, they pass this short-term fix, it will reduce Obamacare premiums. And that's something that President Trump could stand up and say, look what I just did.
I cut the premiums. John Harwood, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
A new report from the White House says American workers will get a pay raise if Republicans are able to reduce corporate taxes. The chairman of the President's Council of Economic Advisers says cutting the corporate tax rate from 35% to 20% would increase household income by at least $4,000 a year.
The question is, what happens if we go down to 20%? You know, if we go down to 20%, then they're going to bring that activity back here, increase the demand for workers here, and drive up wages as well.
Hassett added that corporate tax cuts will also help boost overall economic growth.
There are reports today that President Trump will interview the current Fed chair, Janet Yellen, this week about potentially staying on in her position atop the central bank. According to Politico, the meeting comes as the president nears a decision on filling that job. Separately, Chair Yellen gave an upbeat outlook on the economy yesterday, suggesting that the central bank will soon resume raising interest rates.
I expect the labor market to strengthen further as economic growth continues. The hurricanes will likely result in some hit to GDP growth in the third quarter, but a rebound thereafter. And smoothing through those movements, I'm expecting growth that continues to exceed potential in the second half of the year.
Most economists expect the Fed to increase interest rates at its December meeting.
Oil prices are strengthening, rising towards a six-month high. Today, they settled above $51 a barrel as tensions increased in northern Iraq's oil-rich Kurdish region. Iraqi forces on Sunday took control of an oil operation in the northern area surrounding Kirkuk, which is an area that produces hundreds of thousands of barrels of oil per day.
John Kilduff joins us now to tell us what this all means for energy prices. John, this is obviously a very contentious region. The Kurds and the Iraqis have joined together to fight ISIS, loosely speaking.
Right.
But now, as ISIS threat recedes a little bit, it turns into a fight over independence for the Kurds and oil, right?
It's as if they're fighting over the spoils of the victory over ISIS or Daesh. And the strange thing historically, for lack of a better word, is that the Kurds really stand alone as almost friendless, without allies in the region. Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, of course, None of them want an independent Kurdistan. This goes back to the breakup of the Ottoman Empire. And here we are again. In an interesting intrigue, though, Tyler, this was very worrisome last night because we thought as the Iraqi forces were moving on Kirkuk that this would be a tough fight. The Peshmerga have acquitted themselves quite well in terms of being really...
These are Kurdish forces.
As brutal fighters. In an intrigue worthy of Shakespeare, they laid down their arms apparently because there's infighting amongst the Kurds themselves. So the Iraqis really just marched in here and have given the market some, oil market anyway, a breath of ease here. So the oil price didn't go up all that much. It jumped over $1 a barrel on the initial reports. But things calmed today, and we're all watching it very closely.
Yeah, it seems as though, and I hate to use this phrase because every time you do, something goes wrong, but it's different this time, right, for the oil market? Because we have seen these types of skirmishes in the past, but this time it seems as though the stakes are much higher and both sides are much more committed.
That's right. And, you know, this is going on for centuries. Turkey in particular holds a heavy card here in that an oil pipeline that takes about 600,000 barrels of oil a day out of the Kurdish region to the Ceyhan oil port to the Mediterranean can be shut off in an instant by Turkey. Also, too, we know the Saudi king was just on the phone with the Iraq premier saying that they want a unified Iraq, just to tell you, to show you how uniform the region is against a Kurdish independence movement. So, but a lot of oil hangs in the balance. We know this fighting can be fierce. It's another iteration of it. It's the same Shia-Sunni battle, interreligious battle that we've seen for years now.
Could mean what? A premium in the price very quickly of what? $1? $2? What?
If the fighting were to get heavy-handed and the oil through Turkey gets cut off, anywhere from $3 to $10.
All right. John Kilduff of Again Capital. Thanks very much. Yep. Great to see you.
In China, meanwhile, the government is holding its most important meeting in years, and it could shape the future of the world's second-largest economy. Eunice Yun is in Beijing.
The biggest political event of the year in China opens on Wednesday. It's the 19th Communist Party Congress. This conference of the national leadership is only held twice in a decade. Its purpose is to choose who will be in the main decision-making body for the country for the next 5 years. The Communist Party doesn't hold discussions in public, so whatever political deal-making there is goes on behind closed doors. China watchers are eagerly awaiting who will get what seat and what post. But the only real question is how much power President Xi Jinping will have when it ends. President Xi is widely expected to solidify his control over the party and the country, putting key allies into important positions. Xi may even have his name enshrined in the party constitution, which would put him on a level only held by two people in China's history, Chairman Mao Zedong, the founder of the government, and Deng Xiaoping, who opened the economy here in the 1980s. China experts are also looking for any signs that Xi might try to extend his rule beyond what's become the standard 10-year period. For investors, it's not exactly clear what this Congress will mean. There's hope that economic reform will move more quickly once President Xi is in a stronger position. At the same time, many people believe President Xi could very well maintain the same state-led approach to reform and economic policy seen in his first 5 years in office. But this conference is more about politics than policy, so the details of any upcoming reforms probably won't be hammered out here. One way this year's Congress will be different from those in the past is supposed to take on a more communist and austere feel, in line with President Xi's fight against corruption. Hospitality organizers say that this time round there'll be no free haircuts or facials, no free fruit in the hotel rooms, and no seafood delicacies such as sea cucumbers or prawns to mark this occasion that's important for President Xi as well as the party. For Nightly Business Report, I'm Eunice Yoon in Beijing.
Still ahead, one of the best performing stocks this year moved even higher late today. In fact, a new all-time high. The Supreme Court will hear a digital age privacy dispute. The justices will consider the administration's appeal of a lower court ruling in favor of Microsoft. That lower court ruled that the emails sought in a drug trafficking investigation were beyond the reach of a search warrant because they were stored on a Microsoft server in Ireland. The case is just one example of the clashes technology companies have had with the government over privacy when dealing with law enforcement issues.
The Supreme Court will also hear the government's antitrust challenge to American Express. That case centers on whether the company can prevent merchants from asking shoppers to use cards that charge stores lower fees. Antitrust enforcers have argued that Amex's rules are an unlawful restraint on trade. But Amex says the rules are good for cardholders.
Netflix added a lot more subscribers than expected in the most recent quarter and says it plans to spend a lot more on content next year. The company earned 37 cents a share. That was 5 cents above estimates. Revenue increased 30% from a year ago to nearly $3 billion. And investors liked those results, sending shares of Netflix to an all-time high in after-hours trading, adding to the stock's already big gains so far this year. Julia Boorstin breaks down the Netflix results.
Netflix continues to outperform as its investment in content pays off. Netflix adding a better-than-expected 5.3 million new subscribers this quarter, and it projects a stronger-than-expected 6.3 million new subscribers next quarter. And in the face of growing competition, CEO Reed Hastings says its future largely lies in exclusive original content, and it's planning to spend more to keep ahead of its rivals, now saying it will spend $17 billion on content commitments over the next several years, and it will spend between $7 and $8 billion in 2018 alone. That's up from the $7 billion previously forecast. Back over to you.
Thank you, Julia Boorstin. Nordstrom suspends talks to go private. That's where we begin tonight's Market Focus. The retailer said members of the founding family have halted their efforts to find a potential buyer because of difficulties securing the debt financing. The company also said it may resume that search after the holiday shopping season. Nordstrom shares finished down 5% to $40.40. Biotech XL Ixis said its drug for treating kidney cancer also proved to be effective in treating liver cancer. During a study trial, the treatment helped patients live longer compared to those who took a placebo. The company said it plans to file an expanded label for the drug with the FDA. The shares popped 17% to $29.02. And Allergan came under pressure today after a judge invalidated patents on the drug maker's blockbuster dry eye medicine called Restasis. The ruling now paves the way for competitors to market a generic version of that treatment. Allergan shares fell more than 3% to $198.41.
The food services giant Aramark said it will buy two private companies in separate deals totaling more than $2 billion. The company will acquire Avendra, which specializes in services for the hospitality industry in an effort to lower its food costs. It will also acquire the uniform supplier Ameripride Services to improve its competitive position by expanding its service offerings. Aramark shares up fractionally to $42.53. After the bell today, the drive-in burger chain Sonic reported a drop in profits and revenue. The company said its disappointing sales were due to an intense competitive environment and the impact from Hurricane Harvey. Shares initially fell in the extended session, but ended the regular day up nearly 2% at $24.80. Also after the bell, fire and safety product maker IDEX said increasing demand helped grow sales and earnings. The company also hiked its profit outlook for the full year and reaffirmed its sales guidance. Shares initially unchanged in after-hours trade, but they finished the regular session up 54 cents at $125.06.
In Northern California, officials say favorable weather is helping firefighters gain on the deadly wildfires that have engulfed the state's wine industry. But the losses are mounting. Revised early estimates show the property toll from the fires has more than doubled to about $3 billion in losses, destroying 6,700 structures in Sonoma County. Pacific Gas and Electric Company said it expects to restore more power to the area by late today. But that is not helping PG&E's stock price, which is down for four straight days as investigators look into the cause of the fire.
Insurance companies are no doubt watching those California wildfires just as they are tallying up the impact from those recent hurricanes. And those hurricanes will likely result in big losses when the major insurers report their quarterlies. Morgan Brennan has the details.
Harvey, Irma, Maria. The three hurricanes may add up to the most costly hurricane season on record. And that means a big hit to insurers' bottom lines. Analysts warn the mounting losses from these hurricanes could wipe out a year's worth of profit for some insurance carriers.
The third quarter is going to be a tough quarter for just about every insurance company. Most insurance companies we follow are looking to have most of their third quarter, if not all of their third quarter earnings wiped out. Some will have to be to a loss. There are even a few that where the losses are so large that they're essentially wiping out the entire year's worth of earnings.
Factor in powerful earthquakes in Mexico, and the estimated damage to insured homes, businesses, and vehicles could top $100 billion in the third quarter. And that doesn't even include flood losses falling to the federal government. The earnings impact is expected to be so great, Wall Street now thinks insurer losses will drag down the quarterly earnings growth of the entire S&P 500. The good news? The industry is still sitting on a surplus of capital, meaning companies have enough to pay out clients and weather more catastrophes. But not without making up the difference. Travelers, which reports this week, already suspended its stock buybacks. And analysts now expect companies like Allstate, AIG, Chubb, and Progressive to consider raising premiums.
Oftentimes, following large events, particularly ones that are unusual or change how people think of the risks involved with insurance, you'll see an increase in prices. I think you'll see some of that, at least, if not more, following third quarter earnings. I think you're going to see companies raise prices for coastal areas.
Prospective hikes that could even potentially push up prices for consumers and businesses throughout the U.S. That possibility has fueled a rebound for insurance stocks ahead of results. But analysts caution, after big events, surprises are all but certain. And unfortunately, more losses from more events will be coming, including the deadly wildfires that continue to burn in Northern California. For Nightly Business Report, I'm Morgan Brennan.
Coming up, the amazing race to get Amazon's attention.
A security warning tonight that could impact practically everyone who uses Wi-Fi. A vulnerability was discovered that could let hackers decrypt and potentially look at everything you do online, including gaining access to credit card numbers, passwords, emails, even photographs. Tech companies are responding. Microsoft says it has already fixed the problem for customers running supported versions of Windows.
The Weinstein Company has agreed to a financial lifeline from the private equity firm Colony Capital. The deal gives the Weinstein Company an immediate cash infusion as it reels from the scandals surrounding its founder, Harvey Weinstein. The amount not disclosed. The two sides will now discuss selling some or all of the studio's assets to Colony.
Well, Amazon has begun accepting bids for a location for its second global headquarters. The deadline, Thursday, and cities and states have fallen all over themselves for one of the biggest economic development prizes in recent memory. Scott Cohn reports from one of the cities that is competing, Chicago.
This massive building on the edge of Chicago's downtown is a throwback to the last time the city was a hub for home delivery. Once the largest post office in the world, built to accommodate Sears and Montgomery Ward, it closed 20 years ago. Now it's one of a handful of sites that Illinois is pitching as the home of Amazon's second headquarters.
The criteria that Amazon put out, we rank at the very top. I believe we're going to win this, and we're all in to win.
Amazon says it prefers a metro area with at least a million people, a stable, business-friendly environment, a place with the potential to attract top tech talent, and a place that can think creatively when it comes to real estate locations.
The old Chicago post office is certainly creative, nearly 3 million square feet inside, and this is the roof. It's 4 acres. Chicago has been trying to find a use for this landmark building for decades.
But creativity alone won't cut it, not with stakes that are this massive. The company is promising 50,000 jobs, a $5 billion investment, an economic multiplier effect like its existing headquarters in Seattle, which the company says has been worth nearly $40 billion. No wonder cities are fighting tooth and nail.
We might have to start with going to the state to see if we can get the legislature to change the name to Phoenix, Arizona.
Tucson, Arizona sent the company a giant cactus. Gary, Indiana took out an ad in the New York Times. But not everyone likes the idea. In New York, some protested the use of taxpayer money, incentives, to woo Amazon.
Amazon is a multi-million dollar company, and we do not think that they should be getting state and local tax incentives and financial incentives at a time when our subways are breaking down and our schools are under-resourced and underfunded.
But in Illinois, despite arguably the worst state finances in the nation, the governor says the state can't afford not to bid.
It's going to create a massive new economic growth, new jobs, stronger, higher family incomes, and expand our tax base.
Amazon plans to announce its decision next year, a company known for offering bargains, trying to negotiate one of its own. For Nightly Business Report, I'm Scott Cohn in Chicago.
Well, Scott plans to report from a number of other cities vying for Amazon's second headquarters before the company makes its decision next year.
It's going to be a great series.
Yeah, you can see it here
on NBR.
Big fan.
That does it for us tonight. I'm Sue Herrera. Thanks for joining us.
And I'm Tyler Matheson. Thanks from me as well. Have a great evening, everybody. We'll hope to see you back here tomorrow night.